Each one of them, the greatest scholars in the world today, say that means when Jesus Christ returns. I totally agree. Because see, we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days right now. And the gifts have not passed away. They have not ceased.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, good day, everyone. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, The Gifts of Utterance, as he continues his study in the epistle of 1 Corinthians. Now, let's join the study.
And what did they do? Peter heard them speaking in tongues, magnifying God. That's what was coming out. Are you listening to me? Very important that you get that one. In Acts chapter 19, whenever Paul runs into those people there and he asks them a question, they were John's disciples. They only knew of John's baptism. Paul looks at him and said, you know, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they go, we've not even heard if there even be a Holy Spirit. He said, well, where were you baptized at? They said, under John's baptism. He said, oh. Then he explains them the way they asked Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They are then water baptized. And then what happens? Paul goes over there and he lays hands upon them. And guess what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon, not in. They're already saved. They're already, you know what I mean? Comes upon, hapi. The Holy Spirit, remember the three words, para, he comes alongside of you. In, when you ask Christ to be the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit comes in, seals you to the day of redemption. But see, to be endued with power from up high, he has to come upon you. And then the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they started speaking in other tongues, and guess what they did? They prophesied. If you study that out in context, it goes right back to Acts chapter 2, verse 11. They were declaring in their languages the mighty, incredible, wonderful works of God. Now, if you have ever been in a hyper-charismatic service, I mean no disrespect to any church. However, you may hear the person over here, they give a tongue. You know, they're, you know, whatever it is. You got about 1,700 shandalalas or whatever, you know. And so they finish, and then all of a sudden somebody over here stands up, and they give the interpretation, and you have a minute of tongues and about 5 seconds of interpretation. You go, ha, 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 ain't working for me. I mean, because that was a long, whatever that person was doing. This is very short, doesn't add up. Interpretation is not translation. Translation is word for word. Interpretation, I mean, when I preached in Africa, I had an interpreter. Do you understand? And I would go, I know I said a lot more than that. You do understand what I'm saying. They're not translating word for word. They're doing it in their own vernacular. That's why you study different, say, translations in the Bible. For example, when Jesus said, he said, you know, consider the lilies of the field. You can read another translation, and it says this, learn a lesson from the wild lilies. It's a different interpretation, different translation. Listen, interpretation of tongues. When a person gives a tongue, he doesn't have a clue what he's saying. When a person over here gives the interpretation, he doesn't know what he was saying either. Are you listening to me? It's supernatural. It's not natural. The Spirit speaks through them. It's so important that we have the proper, true balance when it comes to this incredible gift. That's why Paul says in verse 18, I thank my God that I speak with tongues, and that's plural, the variety of tongues, okay? More than you all. He's talking about in his private devotions. Paul the apostle never one time is critical of the gift of tongues or any of the gifts of the Spirit. Matter of fact, what did Paul just say right there? He says, I thank my God for this gift. Paul excelled in this gift. It's a beautiful gift. No, but yet in public, here in the public assembly. Now look what the Word of God teaches about the gift of tongues. Watch this. Yet in the church, I would rather speak how many words? 5 words with my own understanding. It is Christ that lives. 5 words with my own understanding than what? That I may teach others also than 10,000 words. That's the highest number in the Greek language. The myriads and myriads of words in a tongue. Paul is very clear. I agree with him. This is practice at Calvary Chapel. Loved one, listen, tongues are best never used in a public assembly. And we're going to find out why in just a minute. He says, brethren, do not be what? Don't be a bunch of babies. Don't be immature. It's time to grow up. He says, don't be immature in understanding. In other words, get your thinking right. However, he says, in malice, be babes. So when it comes to anything that has to do with evil, be a baby about it. Don't grow up into that junk. He says, however, but in understanding, be what? Be mature. He says, it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to be an adult. Why? Just like today and then. Is there excess when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit? Yes. Are they abused then and now? Of course they are. Are the gifts, especially tongues, exalted like that's the only gift, but when you get that, you have arrived? Now, where do you get that at? That's not true. You know, people say, well, I speak in tongues. Man, I've made it. No, listen, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. Some of the meanest people I know speak in other tongues. Tongues is an evidence that you've been filled with the Spirit, but it's not the evidence. The evidence that a person is truly filled with the Spirit of God is love. Amen? Gifts show my ministry. Fruit show my, come on, church. Maturity, God bless you. This side, you're in trouble. My maturity, yeah. Loved one, the fruit of the Spirit is speaking in tongues? No, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus said, by this, all will know that you're my disciples if you love one another as I have loved you. Not because you flow in the gifts, because you flow in His love. Amen? Now, with all that being said, Paul says, no, stop putting on a show. You guys are out of control. He says, in the law it is written, he's going to quote Isaiah 28, 11 and 12, with men of other tongues, other lips, I will speak to this people. He's talking about the children of Israel. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. They were not willing to hear. If you go back and study that out, judgment is coming to the children of Israel. You know why? They were mocking Isaiah. Isaiah, you know, he said, you know, Isaiah, you're treating us like a bunch of kids. You know, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. Come on, man. We're grown adults. Isaiah said, you know what? You're not going to hear. But there's somebody coming. They're speaking in a language you don't know. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to show you how much unbelief that you're in because the Assyrians are going to come and God's judgment is going to come upon you. The reason that Paul said all of that was because of the unbelief in Corinth. He said, look, therefore, in other words, based on that scripture that I just gave you, tongues are for a what? If you go back and study Acts chapter 2, Joel's prophecy that Peter quoted, it explains to us that we, the church, at that time just entered into the last days. That's the sign. He says, tongues are a sign. Now watch this. For whom? Not to those who believe. Not to the believer, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Now what does it mean when it says it's a sign to unbelievers? Well, number one, it means it's a sign because they're, number one, they're not convicted of their sin, and it confirms their unbelief. That's what Paul was saying here. Listen, the miracle of tongues on Pentecost. When they heard tongues being speak, did they get saved? No, it says it aroused their interest. Remember, all the Jews that were present from all the other nations, and they heard the 120 speaking in their own dialect, the wonderful works of God. It says at that time, it says their interest was aroused. He said, and they go, what meaneth this, remember? But they weren't convicted in their heart. So how did they get saved? Not by tongues. They got saved because Peter preached the first gospel sermon, amen? And 3,000 people came to Christ. Now, tongues can get you in a lot of trouble with unbelievers, okay? Did you know tongues are ineffective when it comes to the lost? Man, listen, that's why Paul says, no, listen. He says, when the whole church comes together in one place, and if all speak with tongues, and there come in one who is uninformed, in other words, perhaps a believer but doesn't understand what the gifts are what? Unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Listen, when tongues are given in the public assembly, and unbelievers are always in the public assembly usually, what does it do for them? It scares them to death. Amen? Don't you remember when that, if you ever heard that first, you'd go, what's going on here? You know, where's the door? You know, run, Forrest, run. You know, come on. No. See, If all the church, if everybody started just going, you know, whatever. And there's some unbelievers here. They go, all right, let's run out now. Because these people, the cheese has slid off the cracker. It's, man, they're in deep trouble. Listen, unbelievers in service, you know what tongues does? It hardens the unbeliever. It hardens them. And not only that, it confuses them. And there was a result there. It confirms unbelief in their hearts, yes, but it also gives them negative feelings about Christianity and the church at large. They're going, man, listen, these people, they're just weird. I just want to get out. I never want to go to church ever again in my life. That's why if you've been in any services and say a charismatic meeting, I'm not being critical of any charismatic church. I've just been in them. And so you want to bring someone that's lost to the church. Say you want to bring your mother-in-law. So here your mother-in-law comes with you and you're sitting on the front row and you know how if you've ever been in service and all of a sudden the worship is going, but they give that time, a little quiet time, the organ's kind of playing, everybody's kind of still. I'm not mocking that. I've been there. And then you start praying because your mother-in-law is beside you. Oh God, please don't let sister, whatever her name, you know, start doing the Shandala stuff. Oh God, please, in Jesus' name. It's going to terrify my mother-in-law. She hates me, you know what? And all of a sudden she goes off. And your mother-in-law, who already hates you, now looks at you and hates you a lot more and said, I knew you should have never married my daughter. You are crazy, and this is a crazy Are you understanding me? Why? Because that church is disobeying what God said to do in His Word. Are y'all with me? Now, I know that if you're from certain, Bill, you're wrong. Study it out for yourself. I challenge you. Study it out. Do what God says in His Word right here. That's why at Calvary Chapel, you know, people can certainly pray in the Spirit under their breath. I don't have a problem with that, neither does God. But there's not going to be any disruptions like that because Paul says, no, don't do that. See, the gift of tongues, especially if when they're in operation, if you want, where the Spirit is moving, you want to be able to do that, loved one, you know, in a meeting that's entirely believers, not unbelievers. Does that make sense? That's why when I taught through, for example, with the share groups, I said, this is a perfect time for the gifts of the Spirit. Wait on the Lord. Let the Spirit of God start moving. Lay hands upon the sick. If you pray in other tongues, pray that you may interpret. Because why? There's no unbelievers present. You know, you're not going to drive them crazy or anything like that, scare them away. That's what an afterglow service is for, where it's only believers only. Listen, tongues do absolutely nothing to bring unbeliever closer to Jesus. I'll tell you what they do. They turn him off. But let's say that you're in a meeting and you really want to turn them on. Then do what it says in the next verse, because prophecy doesn't do that. However, Paul says, but if all, not if they all speak in tongues, but if they all prophesy, in other words, words that are going to be spoken forth from the power of God, from the word of God, whatever, and they're all understood, and an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, he's convinced by everyone, by all. He's convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his hearts are revealed. Wow, the prophetic word prophecy goes right into his heart. He says, it feels like that they're speaking right to me. You've been there, haven't you? Where the word says, God, they're reading my mail. They know everything about me. You understand? He says, and what do they do? Well, they fall down on their face and he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Not the prophetic word of a man, but the prophecy from God. It brings this kind of conversion and kind of repentance. Listen, prophecy is a speaking forth of the word, and it produces the opposite effect of tongues. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God, what is it? It's sharper. It's more powerful. Amen. And any two-edged sword, they're converted. They're convicted in their hearts because of the spoken word, the prophetic word. Now, you know, loved one, I believe Paul now is going to do something. What he's going to say, we move out of public worship. There's still principles for public worship, but we move now into a different area. This is when you have intimacy. You're alone. It's only believers or whatnot, okay, like a share group or an afterglow. And what we're about to read is the deepest, most powerful information that we have on what a true believer's worship session should be. It's right here in the Bible. It's an afterglow, okay? And watch what he says. How is then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you, you have a psalm, teaching, or tongue, revelation, interpretation, okay? That's when all the believers were all together. However, let all things be done for what? There you go, for the building up the body of Christ. I'll tell you something, when it's not done God's way, God's not there, okay? He's absent from it. we always need to do what God says because it needs to strengthen all the members of the body. Quickly now, verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three. Each in turn, take turns, and let one interpret. One, not two, not three. Let one person. You need to do exactly what God says in His Word. But if there's no interpreter, what are you to do? Be quiet. Quit speaking in tongues. Stop it right now. He said, keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself, in other words, alone, and to God. Remember, if you speak in a tongue, you speak not unto man, but you speak unto God. Okay. He says, let two or three prophets speak and let the others what? Did you notice it didn't say, and let them believe what the prophet says? No. It says, you better discern. You better judge, man. You better weigh carefully what those words are being said. And if they don't line up with Scripture, if they don't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, you better get away from that individual. Amen? But if anything is revealed, in other words, another revelation, inspired revelation comes, to another who sits by, let the first keep quiet or silent. For all can prophesy one by one. Did you catch that? Not confusion, one by one. That all may learn and all may be encouraged, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now listen, that's a powerful verse that you should never forget. The Holy Spirit, loved one, does not make a person act weird. Do you understand? He doesn't do that. He doesn't make a person, a Christian, start barking. Do you understand that? Slithering around the floor like, that's not God. Listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to man. The Holy Spirit draws attention and glorifies one person, Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. And so when it says there that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, what does it mean? It means that no believer is out of control when the Holy Spirit is manifesting the gifts of the Spirit in a share group or a public assembly, whatever it is. No one's out of control. In other words, no believer should ever say, and I've heard it and I've seen it, I can't stop prophesying. Yes, you can. I just can't stop speaking in tongues. You know, I went to the door, the mailman was there, and I just kept speaking in tongues. I went to the gas man came, and I just kept, no, stop that. That's so unbiblical. That's not the Bible. Listen, when anyone says in any meeting, share group, whatever it might be, if they say, I'm just uncontrollable, then you need to look at them, and I've done so. You need to look at them and say, well, if you can't control yourself, I want to be assured that it's not the Holy Spirit. There's another spirit that's controlling you. Now, be quiet. Sit down. Don't say another word. Are you with me? Boy, listen, we need to do it God's way. Why? For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Satan's the author of confusion. Now look what he says. As in not just a church at Corinth, as in all churches of the saints, whenever the Holy Spirit is given his rightful place, he's a divine helper of the church. You know what? There's always going to be beautiful order. There's not going to be order in confusion, that God doesn't do those things. And our public worship, whether it's a share group or in a public assembly, should always reflect the character and the beauty of our Savior. Amen? That's what it should do. Here comes my favorite scripture. Let your women keep silent in the church during public worship, for they're not permitted to speak, but they are to be what? You have that on your refrigerator, men? As the law also says, now the law meaning the law of Moses, therefore, during the synagogues, the Jews, of course, they weren't allowed, the women weren't allowed to converse and so forth, permitted to speak in the synagogues. Now, I know this is a much debated passage by many people. I don't debate it because I believe with all my heart I know what it means. You know, some teach this, they say, well, women are not to speak in tongues in the church because in context, that's what we're talking about. Or they're not to prophesy in the church. Well, if that's the case, then we need to, of course, Philip's daughter, did they not? Four of them, they prophesied. Amen. That's right. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, the prophecy of Joel to come to pass in the last days, that I'll pour my spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So we know that that cannot mean what they're talking about, okay? Not only that, if we studied, remember in 1 Corinthians, I don't know, it was 10, about the woman, don't prophesy with your head uncovered. Remember all that? So we know it can't be talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, which means, guys, you better know your Bible. For it is disgraceful, it is shameful for a woman to speak where? Now, that word in the Greek, speak, means to question, to chatter, to cause an argument, okay, to protest or whatever. Women are not allowed to speak in the church. Well, does that mean they're not allowed to sing either? You see what I'm getting at? No, loved one, listen. I believe with all my heart this was just a problem at Corinth. It wasn't church-wide or anything like that. You know, at that time, when they did gather, assemble together, the women just simply sat on one side, the men sat on the other side, okay? And so what would happen is that the women would yell out to their husbands, you know, Jabez, hello, you know, what's this preacher doing? He's killing me, he's putting me to sleep, his name's Bill, get him out of here, you know, whatever. They would ask these questions, and so they were interrupting the service. Does that make sense? But that shouldn't happen. Now, let's look at verse 36. Now, or did the word come originally from you? Now, Paul's very upset in the spirit now. Watch this. In other words, God, did the word of God originate with you guys at Corinth? I mean, or you got the inside track on it because it came from you? Of course it didn't. Now watch. Or was it you only that the word of God reached? In other words, are you the only people in all the world that received the good news? Paul is saying, I'm going to tell you, he's saying, if you didn't invent scripture, loved one, he says, you better start obeying scripture. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet, spiritual, let him acknowledge it. Acknowledge that the things which I write unto you are the suggestions of the Lord. No, look at it, loved one. These are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. In other words, you want to disregard God's word? Then you're going to be disregarded. That's what Paul is saying right here, man. This is the most severe word in this epistle to these people. He says, therefore, brethren, now that's all the church, desire earnestly to what? That's a good thing. He says, I want you to desire that. God wants you to desire that. Don't forbid the speaking in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in what? Order. Now, I'm going to ask you a question as we close. Just a question. I'm challenging you. I want you to think about what I'm about to say. You know, those of you who pray in the Spirit, meaning you can pray in tongues, okay? And when you go into your prayer closet, can you pray in the Spirit anytime you want to? Yes. Yes, you can, if you have that gift. You can pray anytime. You can pray right now. However, in the meetings, when they're all gathered together, can you just immediately start speaking in other tongues? Well, you could in your own language, your own whatever God gave you. However, would that be right? The reason I say that is because I think that whenever you're in an assembly and you feel led, all of a sudden you feel the Spirit is moving, it will never be the tongue that you pray in. It will be new. The reason I say that is because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, about the gifts and the variety of tongues and all of that. They are given to each one, but they are given only out in the as what? He wills, not as you will. See, you can pray in your prayer language anytime you want to, but not when it comes to a tongue that is given unto the church. Now, study that out. Just prove me wrong on that, or at least study it out and see what that means. Now, with all of that being said, I want to read a quote here that I treasure. It says, beware of any exegesis, that means an interpretation of a text in the Bible, that degrades the supernatural in the Bible to the powerless level of the natural. Man, don't do that. God's word, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, those of you who study in about where it says, and you know, where it talks about where the, you know, tongues will cease and knowledge will vanish away and all that, and that which is perfect comes. And there are great expositors who say, well, that perfect means once we get the Bible complete, then which it was, the gifts pass away. You go out and study. I challenge you to study the greatest Greek scholars in the world today. And do you know what they'll tell you the word perfect means? Has nothing to do with the Bible being completed. Each one of them, the greatest scholars in the world today, say that means when Jesus Christ returns. I totally agree. Because see, we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days right now. And the gifts have not passed away. They have not ceased. Now, you who've been through this series, you should be no longer ignorant of the gifts of the Spirit.
Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow with more teaching from his 1 Corinthians series. So please tune in again, won't you? And we want to thank you for listening today. Until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app.
Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.